the president's former lawyer and his former campaign chairman are guilty. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was convicted of tax and bank fraud yesterday, only minutes after Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to violating campaign finance laws. But Manafort's legal problems are not over yet. He'll be tried next month on accusations that he failed to register as a foreign agent. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is following this from Washington. Nancy, what's at stake in this second trial?
Manafort is accused of breaking an obscure law known as the Foreign Agents Registration Act. It requires any lobbyist representing a foreign organization or government to register with the Justice Department and file public disclosures. Manafort worked for a number of Ukrainian oligarchs to help get Viktor Yanukovych elected president of Ukraine. He also represented foreign clients in Washington, but he never registered as a foreign agent.
How much can lobbyists earn from international clients like these?
A lot. That's according to the Center for Responsive Politics. They say foreign interests have spent more than $500 million lobbying in the U.S. since 2017. This is money from foreign governments, political parties, and businesses. The center says about three of every $10 spent on foreign lobbying since 2017 came from East Asia. South Korea was the biggest spender. And this is just the spending we know about that was reported to the federal government.
So does that mean that there are lots of lobbyists, allegedly maybe like Manafort, who never registered at a foreign agent?
Apparently, the Project on Government Oversight follows this, and they say compliance with the Foreign Agents Registration Act is very low, and until now, the Justice Department hasn't done much to enforce it. So really, there's no way of knowing how many people are lobbying for foreign interests and not registering, just ignoring the law like Manafort is accused of doing.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. And as we mentioned, the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to eight different crimes, including breaking campaign finance laws. Cohen says he paid or arranged for payment of hush money to two women who said they'd had affairs with Donald Trump, allegedly, and that he'd done so at the direction of the president. Intelligence officials have warned that foreign hackers could once again target state voting systems in the November elections. States, meanwhile, are ramping up their security efforts. They're detailing plans to use $380 million in federal grants for this purpose. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more on how they're going to use the money.
The money originally was aimed at modernizing state voting systems after the Bush v. Gore hanging Chad debacle. Mark Abbott is grants director at the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. He says this round, states are spending mostly on cybersecurity and equipment.
Whether it's upgrading the cybersecurity around the voting systems themselves or the voter registration systems or just cyber in general, that's the biggest trend we're seeing right now.
Security officials say 21 states were targeted by Russian hackers during the 2016 election, including California. Its Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, says California's $36 million share will help replace outdated voting machines and train staff.
But that is still butterfly ballot hanging Chad's money. That's not money intended, nor is it sufficient to address modern day cyber threats to our elections.
California is also spending $134 million in state money. Earlier this month, the U.S. Senate voted down extra federal funding. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And Facebook announced it's discovered an Iranian disinformation campaign built on hundreds of fake accounts. The apparent goal was to manipulate public opinion on social media in the U.S. and Britain and the Middle East and Latin America. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.1% range, with the Dow future down 30 points. Trade tensions between the U.S. and Canada are pushing Canadians to buy Canadian, well, more Canadian. But as Emma Jacobs reports, first they have to figure out what is actually made in Canada.
For 17-year-old Tyler Campbell, the idea began at a family barbecue. when he started talking with his dad and uncle about the tariffs in the news.
We realized we wanted to buy more Canadian products, but we weren't really sure how to.
They couldn't find a good list of products made in Canada online, so they decided to create one. Tyler pulls up their website, madeinca.ca, on his phone.
So, you know, you've got Dare. I think they make
cookies, I believe.
Cookies, yeah.
That's Tyler's father chiming in, Travis Campbell. Their site now lists more than 250 companies, and Travis says he hopes Canadians will search here for alternatives to U.S. imports.
If we could focus more on spending our money on Canadian products, then I think it'd help support jobs here and maybe help us weather the trade war a little bit.
Tyler first posted the site on Reddit in July and began getting product submissions and interview requests from Canadian media. By the end of the month, the site had 160,000 visits. The Canadian polling firm Nanos found 70%+ of Canadians would consider boycotting American products in the event of a full-out trade war. David Soberman is a professor of marketing at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto.
What you have in Canada is people feeling as if the Americans are mistreating us, punishing us for no reason.
But he says that will only motivate a fraction of consumers to actually change their buying habits. And many Canadian companies are reliant on U.S. sales. Take Gerhard Latkes. His company, Crofters, is on the Made in Canada website. It makes organic jams.
In the majority of our market is in the U.S. It's a 10 times larger market.
Latkes doesn't think that the Canadian tariffs are going to produce winners, certainly not Canadian consumers. So far, the protective measures put in place by Canada are expected to add $12.7 billion a year to the costs of imported U.S. goods. In Toronto, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.